Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. In the last Dhamma talk, we discussed about Patisankhara Jnana, which is reflective, contemplative awareness of mind and matter. Actually, it is the insight level number 10. So in here, if you look at it 1 to 10, level insight level 1 to insight level 10, the first five, they are quite distinct. Okay, stand on its own, nothing mixed. Unique, really, it penetrates into the true nature or the true reality of mind and matter. And in this insight level 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you'll notice I talk it all in a state of being short and all together. And the reason is these are all the way I present it is emotional impacts that one experience, one come to understand, okay, through to the full experiential understanding of the mind and matter. And there you begin to experience the danger and fearsomeness of the mind and matter. And also, you begin to experience the disgusting and faulting nature of the mind and matter. And then the tiresomeness and weariness of the nature of mind and matter. And through those, you step upon to the wanting to be free, or wanting to be liberated, or wanting to run away from the nature of mind and matter. And then finally, you got into the boiling hot soup of all forms and all different physical, mental, suffering nature or unpleasant nature of mind and matter. These things, number 6 to number 10, okay, they are stage by stage. But when you are experiencing all in a mixture of a boiling pot. Even though they are one at a time, separate, eventually on the 10, every experience, sometime you feel the fear. Sometimes you feel disgust, sometimes you feel worriedness, and sometimes you want to let it go. Let it go means, okay, according to the title is you want freedom from mind and matter. You want deliverance. You want deliverance. That's the nature you want. But in reality, what you are experiencing is you just don't want to face it. You want to get away from it. You want to let it go. So, when you are experiencing, you don't really experience it. I want to have a freedom. I will get a deliverance out of this. Not in that. It is just simply, I don't want it. I want to let go. So from there, there's a pivot point. One is people actually pack and go home. And another one is with the aid of the teacher and thorough understanding and determination, you carry on. So that is the very important pivot point. The emotional factors are when you put it on in words, sounds good, sounds great. But when you are experiencing it, there is no marked distinction as you have constructed in the sentence. It is simply a whole emotional, negative emotional factors. Sometimes you really express fear. Sometimes you even see sights and sounds that are fearful. Okay. So keep that in mind. In the written sense, in the construction, structural sense, it sounds very clear and tidy and neat. But in experience-wise, you are there totally struggling and swimming in a pot of suffering. It's difficult to distinguish. That's the part one need to understand clearly. And of course, when you are at the level of 10, it is so much, okay? The burden of suffering is so much. There's, if you keep on going as the way it is difficult to escape from that loop. So what you do is, at that time, under the guidance of the teacher will send you back to square one. Forget about all the experience, forget about all these excite, and forget about continuous observation. Go back, simply square one, rising of the abdomen, falling of the abdomen, rising, falling, rising, falling. That's how you start. And then go through the whole series step by step again and again. Step by step, slowly, you don't jump. You have the ability to jump, but you don't jump. And go through all the stages, all the insight experience. Go through it one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And when you go through that, okay, this time you become more skillful. This time you become more aware. This time you become quite knowledgeable about what is happening. In that way, you can tread through this path of suffering, all these emotional impact, with understanding and with grace, and you can pass that number 10. So in here, there's always, when the Buddha taught us, okay, patisankhanyana, reflective contemplation of the nature of mind and matter. That's about it. And that some his disciple explained, and throughout the ages, and the wise sage, which are very skillful in both theoretical as well as practical, scriptural as well as the real experience. These teachers, one or two or three, came up every century. Not many, only sometime only one, sometime two, sometime maybe three, in a century. In 100 years. Century is 1,000, isn't it? So in 100 years, one or two might rise, and these are very brilliant teachers, and they wrote and they explained. And in here, there's an explanation about this. 6 to 10, he wrote it up and explained it in the commentaries with the example analogy that we could understand. The way he expresses, there's a fisherman. Okay, fishermen, not a professional fisherman, but still in Asia, okay, the people, they have to earn their livings any way they could. Sometimes they have to look for food, okay, just to put food on the table. So let's say it's a fisherman and the water is about knee deep. And what they have is there's a cone basket that they weaved, cone basket, and they trot through the fields or a little swamp. Sometimes there's a paddy fields that are about knee high water is. And they put down that cone, this spot, that spot, this spot, that spot. And sometime when they put it down, they know because of the movement struggle, there's a fish underneath. That's how they do the fishing. Not commercial fishing, that they are fishing it just to have food for the family. So as soon as there's a movement, of course, got excited. It wouldn't be every fisherman, whenever the hook is, the fish hook onto their line, how excited that one become. I got a fish, and everybody focus upon it, focus to that person. Just like that, got excited. When he got excited, that little cone has a hole on the top. So what he did was, he put his hand through that hole into the cone and grab hold of the fish. And the system is, you grab hold of the fish and they have another small basket, okay, around their waistline. Open the lid, put the fish and close it and keep on going till they got that little basket around their waist is become full. So that is how the system is. And here, he got excited. He put his hand and grabbed the fish out. Oh, must be a big one. It's really vibrating, the basket is. Pull out that fish out of that cone basket. And suddenly, what he saw was a three-striped snake. Actually, it's not a fish, it's a snake. He pulled out the snake. And there, right in his hand, the snake is wriggling. And he saw the three-stripe. Three-stripe means that's a poisonous snake. And first and foremost, all his excitements and happiness and joy gone and suddenly turned into fear. Oh, gosh. He can sense the danger of the snake and he can sense the fear towards the snake. And then he looked at the snake, and this sensing of the danger and the fear at the snake is that jnana or insight. Bhaya jnana is insight into the danger and fear or scariness of the mind and matter. So you are experiencing suddenly. You found out it's not the fish, which means it's not the pleasure with all the sense pleasure and the life you live in. That's what you think. It's beautiful, pleasant, this is a life, happy, lucky. And he think that it is and he pull it out and suddenly he found out this is full of danger and fearfulness and scariness. And that struck and seized him. That is Payanyana. The first time he experienced, he saw that snake. And of course, the three stripes on the snake represent the three characteristics of existence. It is anicca, dukkha, anatta. Okay? Mind and matter is, their characteristics are anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, and anatta, non-self, uncontrollability, non-self, no soul, those represent it. And then he hold on and he is struck by the fear and you can sense the danger. And right away, it's not just stuck there. Your emotion keep on moving. What they move it is suddenly he sensed that it is not the right thing to keep on holding this snake, because one time or the other you'll get into trouble. Okay? It's not the right thing. It is a faulty thing. You are filled with disgust that you are holding that snake. That emotion struck that person. So that is adinava jnana, okay, insight into the faulty nature. Okay, the faulty nature and disgust of the mind and matter. That is exactly the experience you're having, that feeling, that emotion you're experiencing with the snake can equate to that insight. You're, of course, you are struck by fear, and then you see it is a wrong thing. It's a faulty thing to keep on holding. But at the same time, you cannot let go. You're still holding the snake. As you are still holding the snake, slowly what happened? If you let it go, it'll strike you. You don't know what to do. And you become weary of it. You become tired of it. Okay? You become tired and weary. Okay? And that is the feeling, okay? Miserable feeling. You become tired, you become weary, you become miserable holding onto that snake. Okay? These are different emotions, one after the other. And that is Nibbida jnana. Nibbida jnana is the weariness, okay, repulsiveness into the nature, miserable feeling into the nature of mind and matter. That is the feeling. Now we have three different kind of emotion. Paya jnana, adinava jnana, nibbida jnana. Fear, disgust, faulty, and miserable. And then you feel miserable, but at the same time you're holding on. You have to hold on. But at the same time you know you cannot hold on to the stake for a long time. Because one time or the other, okay, you want to escape from that snake. You want to escape from the danger of the snake. You want to escape from this. You don't want to be tired and weary all the time. And you know it is a wrong thing to hold on. That kind of feeling, you want to let go of the snake. That kind of feeling is Mansitu kamyata jnana, okay, insight into the deliverance from mind and matter, from the freedom from the mind and matter, that wanting to go, letting go. Okay. Basically, as I have said, in a sentence structure, sounds great, but when you're feeling it, you just want to let go. How the hell can I get the snake off here? That is number 9. You want to get rid of it. You want to escape from it. So that emotion. These emotions are like we are talking. It's too long. Over there is you're experiencing one after the other successively. These mental impact. And at the same time, there's an understanding mixed with all these highly charged emotions. And suddenly, as you want to get rid of it, you have to do something. You have to do something is that patisankhanyana, reflective contemplation, insight into mind and matter. What you do was you really start again. Okay, you really make it meticulous right from the beginning, step by step, how to do it, and you put a lot of emphasis on what to do. as it is instructed. So that is like really holding on tight to the snake. You are observing it very meticulously right from the beginning, square one, step by step, thoroughly doing it. That means you are really squeezing tight onto the snake. You're holding on really tight. And then what do? You really swing that snake in your hand. Because if you let it go near you, it might come and bite you again. So what you do was you really tightly hold the snake, and then you whirl it, and you just throw it as far as you can. And that is the process you go through in number 10, Patisankhanyana. Everything you go meticulously, step by step, step by step, step by step, from the beginning, without skipping any. And because of that, you really do it very thoroughly and do throw it, to go and throw it far away. That emotion, that action is number 10. So that is how the sages, the wise of the centuries, and a commentator, they have written it down and explained to us so that we could understand this insight number 6 to number 10. So that will give you a very clear understanding of what we were discussing. And of course, we discussed in details about exactly how your experiences are last week about this 6 to 10. So with that, you will come to a very clear understanding of the process you are going through and what you are doing. And in number 10, you are meticulously following the track again. And when you do that, you have a better knowledge, better understanding, and with a great effort, okay, you don't even go, oh, I know these things, I don't need to do those kind of things. No, out. As you go through that, what happened was, you go through the stages, and this time, when you reach to the Bhinganyana, the insight of dissolution, number 5, you don't go into the whirlwind. The first time you went into the whirlwind, you got into that sinkhole. Okay, suck and disappear, and then you got totally shocked and totally disbalanced. This time you understand, you don't get that kind of impact anymore. This is the second time around, so you don't have that kind of a shock like the first time. And here, you already have a lot of assistance and aid from the teacher, and you have a stronger nature, a strength to face these things with understanding. Understanding is what? Understanding is wisdom. Wisdom is understanding. Not theoretical. In our practice, everything is experiential. The only thing is the teacher will pull out your experience and put into the puzzle piece where it belongs. That's where it goes. So, as you did not get affected that highly charged this time, you can go through that and you practice and you practice and you practice. And you see and you feel all these things. You see the fear. Okay? Bhayanyana. You see the fear. The first time was fear sees you. And this time, you understand what is this fear about and why is it coming up, what is the cause. You have a better understanding, so the fear cannot seize you. You can see that this is a very dangerous thing, a very troublesome thing this mind and matter is. Okay? Your attitude change. Now, your experience is getting closer to what is written, okay, in construction with sentence and paragraphs. The first time was not that. And then here, you really understand this is dangerous. That is a fearsome thing to tangle with mind and matter. And then suddenly, you see the faults. What is the fault? The fault is we hold on to this mind and matter. We hold on to this self, thinking that it is permanent, solid, identifiable. But it is not at all. It is broken down all the time, changing all the time, passing away all the time. And anything broken is no good. It is unsatisfactory. Anything breaking all the time has no substance, no substantiality. That you clearly see and see all the faults of this mind and matter. The same thing, Adi Nawat, this time around you see and you feel differently. Nibeda, okay? You feel tiresome, we're miserable. But this line, the miserable is not an emotional impact that sees you. This time, that misery is, you really feel miserable that you have to be engaged with this mind and matter and you have no choice. That is kind of misery. Because of that, miserable to be with the mind and matter, you want to escape from the bondage of this mind and matter. That is the deliverance. Manchitu kamyata jnana. You really, this time, feel you want to have the freedom from it. You want to have the deliverance away from this bondage of mind and matter. The same thing, the same experience, but your attitudes become more skillful and wise. And as your attitude become wiser and more skillful, the impact, all the impacts cannot seize you and put you in a whirlwind. That is how you overcome the dukkha vedana. Dukkha vedana. Everything about, if you remember, right from the beginning as we are talking about dukkha vedana, unpleasant feeling, unpleasant sensation. In other words, the first noble truth, what the Buddhists taught us, the truth of suffering, existence is suffering, that one, you have overcome the dukkha vedana, unpleasant feeling, pleasant feeling. Okay, pleasant feeling you overcome in number 4. And from the 5 up to 10 is all unpleasant. And now you have overcome the unpleasant feeling at when you got to the end of number 10. In other words, you have overwhelmed dukkha vedana. Unpleasant feeling, both physical and mental, if you recall all the talks and details we have explained. That is where you come in. You practice, you go through, and eventually what happens is you reach to a state. What is this state? Don't think when you said you have overcome pleasant and unpleasant feeling, don't think that you have no unpleasant feeling arise in you anymore. Dukkha vedana. This physical pain will not stop arising. This mental pain will stop arising. If you think that way, you are utterly wrong. As long as you have this body and this mind, this body and this consciousness jacked up, there is suffering. That is the nature of mind and matter, this body and consciousness. The body born with pain, live with pain, and die with pain. These are the true nature of the body and also the mind. You have grief, lamentation, sorrow, sadness, fear, anger, aversion. These are all mental suffering. It exists. And in here too, you come to number 10, you have overwhelmed the suffering. That doesn't mean that they totally disappear and gone. They are still there. As long as you have this body, that pain is there. As long as you have the mind, that kind of mental distresses are there. But when you have overcome that number 10 and reached to number 11 insight, another 11 is this, Sankarupakajnana. The English translation is insight into the equanimity, insight into the nature of equanimity. What it is these physical pain and mental pain still exist. As long as this mind and matter exist, they exist. But one thing is, you have developed through your insight and then attained a wisdom, or in other words, thorough understanding of the true nature or the ultimate reality of mind and matter. That's what you had experienced from 1 to 10. That is what you gained. That is the wisdom you have now. You thoroughly understand the true nature of mind and matter from your direct experience. Not from reading, not from thinking, not from reflecting, not from figuring out. Those never work. You must experience directly. And at that time, the pain comes. That pain has no impact upon your mind. The mind doesn't take as that physical pain as I am in pain. You don't take that I am in pain. My leg is in pain. My back is in pain. You don't take that way anymore. But you understand, oh, this is pain. Simply a physical phenomenon. That phenomenon exists, physical pain. If you are beating with a stick, there will be a pain. And that pain do exist. But one thing was, you do not take that pain as I am in pain. You take that as simply, this is pain, this is a physical phenomenon, this is a physical process. You understand, it goes on its own. Okay. You do not take it personally. As you do not take it personally, you do not suffer. That's it. There's a space, a white space between the pain and the observing mind. Before the observing mind is not the observing mind, it is the mind that takes personally, I. And you take that pain, and I am in pain. Now is, there's a space, a gap between the pain and that observing mind. So the observing mind simply know that this is a physical process, the pain that goes on. And you watch, as you have gone through these meditation insight to that level, you simply can experience their rapid arising and passing away, rapid arising and passing away. As you see the passing away, okay, it doesn't have direct impact upon you because you simply know this is gone. They come, they gone, they come, they gone. It is a physical process. There's a space between the mind and that physical or the pain process. And one do not take it personally. For that reason, the mind can observe, however painful it is, with equanimity. Because it is not happening to me. Why? Because there is no I. Simply, you understand that this is the process. And again, the same thing, mental state, mental pain, mental grief, these things come in. There's the one process, it's a mental process. Mental pain is operating and flowing on its own. That is one consciousness. One consciousness become aware of the mental pain, or together with the pain, identify with the pain. And there's another consciousness, which is the mindful, okay, observing consciousness. And then that observing consciousness, mindful consciousness, understand these mental natures, thoughts, emotions, everything, they come and they go, they come and they go, they arise and they pass away. Simply, it is a flow that is happening right in front of the observing mind. For that reason, there is no mental pain inflicted upon so-called you. We have to still use the conceptual words to communicate. So, physical pain arises, mental pain arises, it cannot inflict upon you, and the observing mind simply watch, serene, with serenity, with tranquility, with equanimity. You simply watch them as if it is not happening to you, because at that moment there is no I, simply the powerful, observing, educated, wise, mindful mind. That's it. But that mind must be with full of insight and wisdom. So you can be equanimous. And also at the same time, we are only talk about the pain. There's also pleasant sensation arises. You know that when these are gone, the pains come in. One simple way to put is, you know that's a pain, but simply you know, through your experience, some of you know, pain is simply a vibration. You can observe a vibration. When you observe the vibration, there is no pain. When you just drop it down, your concentration, the pains come and that inflicts upon you. See, all these things, you become the master. You can exert, penetrate, concentrate as skillfully as you can and live without the inflict of pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling upon your psyche or upon the mindful mind, observing mind. So that observing mind can watch all the flow of pleasant feelings and unpleasant feeling with full equanimity. Nothing affects you. It comes and goes. Both good and bad, they are coming, they are going, they are coming, they are going. And you can observe it. And because of that, that stage is called insight into equanimity. You have reached equanimous zone. So don't have a misconception, the pain and griefs are all gone. They are not, they are there. It's simply you understand now in a different way. And you don't identify with I. You don't identify with me. You simply know it's a phenomenon, a twin phenomenon in operation. And you can skillfully observe them, skillfully navigate them and direct them. At that moment, you have that skill. And you are in a totally equanimous zone. Now, in this equanimous zone, we have another trap. Okay, we are not totally out of the traps. We are not totally out of the wood yet. Okay, we are out of the woods from the pleasant feeling. We are out of the woods from the unpleasant feeling. But there is one feeling, one sensation still left. What is that? That's a neutral feeling. Okay? Neutral feeling, neutral sensation. That still have a grip upon you. You are not even aware of it. That still have a grip upon you. Because neutral feeling is a feeling that you don't know, you can't experience, you are not aware. If it is not neutral, you will be aware. If it is neutral, you can't be aware. It's so subtle. So it has a hold upon you, but you are not even aware of it. So it's even more difficult to overcome that neutral feeling. So right there, you're observing, and you can watch everything flows, all the pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, all the physical phenomena, mental phenomena flow in front of you. It's flowing and you're observing, flowing. You don't need any effort. You don't have to apply any effort. You don't have to direct your mind towards this object. You are sitting there like an observer. And everything what is happening in you, what is happening in your life, they just flow like a water flowing in a river or a stream, constantly flowing. There's the physical process, another, there's the pain, there's the dissatisfaction, there's the craving. Everything, you can see it, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect is perfect. And you can see that is a physical phenomenon, you can see mental phenomenon, and everything, nothing miss. And at the same time, you need to do nothing, you don't have to apply any effort. It is just flowing like a stream or river, water in front of you. It is right there. But at the same time, as we know, the river is running. Every water, every droplet in the same spot is not the same one. Just like that, a flow, constant flow of physical phenomenon and mental phenomenon, intermittently mixed together, but like a stream, a flow of water from the waterfall, you can watch and you know and you know and you know. You simply watch. And as you can watch with full equanimity, you have no suffering, no pain, okay? No likes, no dislike, no fear, no hope, no prejudice, no favoritism. Simply there, totally neutral, and you're observing. Simply a flow, constant flow. And it is so efficient to observe and watch, and simply watch the flow. What is happening is, you think you know. You think you know what is happening. I'm aware of everything. Nothing misses me. I spot, I check, I observe everything. Nothing can escape my observation. Even you have a little bit of pride. Even you have a little bit of ego, maybe. Okay. If you are thinking on that, I don't miss anything. Suddenly that is a trace of ego come in. And what is happening is, it is passing by, but at the same time, you do not have full and precise understanding of this flow of physical and mental phenomenon at that moment. Simply going on. And you think you know, but at the same time, you are ignorant of the precise operation of this physical and mental phenomenon. That is what's happening. That means you have moha. Moha means ignorance. Okay. You have ignorance or avidya. Ignorance. Not knowing exactly how this mind and matter is operating. Okay. You observe. You know nothing miss your observation, nothing miss your mindfulness, but you don't have the in-depth awareness of the each and every phenomenon passing in front of you. That not knowing is moha. That not knowing is ignorance. But it is very difficult, so subtle, because you are aware, you are mindful of everything that is at the present moment. Because of that, you think you are already there. And also you have no likes and dislikes. You are totally neutral. So you think you are already in a very highly, almost enlightened person. That is how you are thinking. But in reality, you are totally under the influence of ignorance. What it is about is, you are not simply observing and you are not simply mindful of these objects or phenomena or the flow. You must know them penetratively. If you remember, you go back to square one, square two. You must know penetratively. And at that moment, what you do was, you have to change your attitude. That's why it said, okay? Ignorance dwells in neutral feeling. If you are observing the neutral feeling, you are in a state of ignorance. In other words, you are oblivious. You have to erase that ignorance. How would you erase? You put a, at that moment, put a special effort. Because we said it at that time, you don't need any effort to observe. Effortlessly, you know everything. But regardless, you have to put effort. What is that effort? Effort to see the end of these flows of physical and mental phenomena. You insert, okay? You put special effort to see the cessation in that flow. Before, the flow is like a long continuous lane, continuing with no break. Now, you put effort and to see the cessation between these flow from one object to the other, one object to the other. And when you insert that special effort to see the cessation in that flow, continuous flow of physical and mental phenomena, what happens is you get into that phenomenon penetratively and deeply. At that moment, the moha or ignorance ceases to exist. Moha ceases to exist. And a lot of yogis in the Sankharupa Kanyana, they are quite content, they are quite happy. They do not even want to understand the intricacy of how to put a little tune up there, and they live there and they believe they have attainment. So that is a very, very important aspect of it. Only then, we will be escaped from mental defilements. What is the mental defilements? Lobha, greed. What is it? Likes, wants. Desire, craving, attachment, grasping. Okay, you have overcome that in number four. And dosa, anger, aversion, dissatisfaction, irritation, agitation, frustration, ill will, hatred. You dissolve into the sinkhole at number five and totally obliterated in number 10. But still, those two, the third one is moha, delusion or ignorance. That ignorance can only be overcome at number 11 insight, which is the insight into equanimity. Only then all mental defilements are not in your psyche anymore. Only then, lobha, dosa, moha, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and unsubstantiality are not in the observing mind. The full purity is reached. So may all of you be able to practice satipatthana vipassana meditation, mindfulness, insight, meditation, properly, correctly, and precisely, and may you be able to overcome all mental defilements and reach purity as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Buddham pujemi, Dhammam pujemi, Sangham pujemi.